Only a very small percentage of Americans serve in the military, an experience that those who have not served don't always understand. Transitioning back to civilian life and time in the service itself can be difficult in some cases. A nonprofit organization out of Texas has found a way to generate greater understanding of the military experience and of veterans themselves. It's called the Telling Project. It brings vets and their families together to tell their stories on stage in collaboration with the University of Missouri-St. Louis. Several programs are scheduled here early next month. With me from UMSL to talk about the Telling Project are retired U.S. Army Lieutenant Colonel Jim Craig, Associate Teaching Professor and Chair of the Department of Military and Veteran Studies at the University. Jacqueline Thompson is Assistant Professor of Theater at UMSL, and Harold Taylor is a veteran and an UMSL student. Thank you all so much for being with us. Great to see you.
Thank you for having us.
Jim, let me start with you.
Sure.
This is a project that, as I understand it, is designed to help connect veterans to the community, right?
Yes, it is.
Why is that important?
Well, I'll tell you, since, we'll just go the kind of recent history, 1973. Since 1973, we haven't had a draft, and so we've had nobody, really, there's nobody under the age of 60 in our country who has had the potential for call up to military service. And so since that time, the connection between our citizenry and our service members and our veterans has started to fray. And so the conversation that used to happen at our dinner tables and the conversations and stories that used to happen in our churches and in our communities aren't happening anymore. And we're trying to spark those conversations again, and this is one way to do it.
Are we talking primarily about veterans who have experienced combat, who may be suffering from PTSD, or those who have come back and had difficulty finding jobs? Is that where the connection needs to be made?
No, those connections clearly need to be made, but that's not what this is about. This is really about veterans and their experience and connecting that experience back to the society they served. Huh. And it could be wartime, it could be peacetime. In fact, in our production, we even have a spouse to talk about her experiences while her husband was deployed. So it's not about war. It's not necessarily about catharsis. It's really just about connecting.
Let me turn to Harold. How does this relate to you as a vet?
This relates to me by coming out of the military. I did start to suffer from PTSD, and I fell into an addiction. Became an alcoholic, and it's really just telling my story that how you can come from those kind of circumstances and then come out of them. I'm being able to talk to my family, to people that I don't even know, and tell them that you can recover, you can succeed after a couple of downslides. You know, one thing I always say is, get back up when you get down. You know, don't ever stay on the ground.
Is it hard to talk about these things?
Sometimes, depending on the audience. You know, if it's younger people, I tend to maybe sugarcoat a little bit. But when there's adults, I tend to be a little more graphic. You know, the Telling Project, it's coming from all angles of the military. You have spouses, we have females, black, white, you know, telling their story, how they served and what they did when they got out and what they're doing now. And it's in an enlightened mood. It has its humor. It has its seriousness. It has how veterans work with trying to get their benefits, how they're not getting them, the racism in the military, the fun you have, the camaraderie, all these things, we even call them cadences. So it's a wonderful experience.
Jacqueline, how do you stage something like this?
Very good question. You know, it's really been fun because the script is their stories and their monologue. So it's really up to me, which was cool. Me and Matt Kearns, who's also the co-director on this project, and we've been just trying to keep it moving, keeping it lively. We always tell them in rehearsal to keep their energy, pushing the story forward. So it's just been fun for me just to kind of play with, manipulate the body-wise into the space and keep the story moving through movement and through the blocking of the piece.
How large a cast is involved in this, and are they all veterans?
Nine, in the cast, and 8 are veterans. Yes.
Who's number 9, the odd man out or odd woman out?
Margaret Schaefer, and she is a military spouse.
A spouse, mm-hmm. Okay. Well, that's an important story
to be told
as well. Jim, one of the things that Jacqueline said that interested me is about following the script. So this is a scripted.
It is a scripted. I have the script right here, but the script is the exact words of the veterans. Mm-hmm. So the process really started 4 months ago when we brought in a scriptwriter from the Telling Project. He spent 3 or 4 days at UMSL interviewing veterans, recording those interviews, transcribing those interviews, and then doing his best to find the key elements of those 2 hours. And Harold could tell you how long it is, two and a half hours of interviews.
Yeah.
And bringing those down into a intertwined story among 8 or 9 veterans on stage.
Yeah.
And then over this process, the veterans, the cast members, have been able to change the words to make sure we got it right.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really, I think, the most important part. This has got to be their words, their stories.
Mm-hmm. And those involved in the program that's going to be showing here early next month, they are all local veterans?
They are all local veterans. Because UMSL was a strong partner in this, 4 of them have some sort of UMSL affiliation, students or employees at UMSL, but the affinity group from Boeing, actually, the veteran affinity group, so there's a couple of veterans from that community, and some who just heard the call and came out and interviewed and said, I'm willing to give this a try. And of the vets who did it, no one's backed out.
No one's backed out.
And no one, I mean, this is hard work.
They're working really hard. Yeah. They're learning.
And
you
they're
know.
Eager.
Yeah.
They're eager.
What is the gist of your story? We can't do the whole thing, obviously, and you gave us some sense of the kinds of things you talk about. What do you want people to take away from your story?
I want people to take away from my story. I graduated from high school, and I told my mother that I would graduate from college. And in the middle of all that, I had a lot of turmoil, a lot of good times. I served in the military, which was one of the biggest and best decisions that I ever made in my life.
What branch?
I'm a United States Army.
All right. Okay.
Airborne, paratrooper. And I want them to take that. I'm keeping to my promise to my mother. You know, I've overcome addiction, which I've been sober for 4 years. And I'm at UMSL in my senior year, and I'm finna graduate with a degree in social work. And I work with the VA. I'm a peer specialist in training to work with veterans to be able to come back. My thing is I want them to be able to know that you can bounce back when you have adversity, and there are benefits out there. You have to seek them to get them, but when you get them, you can continue your education, mm-hmm. and not follow or go with that stereotype that sometimes veterans have. To be able to live, you can live and smile.
You're a living, breathing example of overcoming adversity, and that's your story.
Yeah, I lost my self. I lost my pride. I wasn't able to look in the mirror. I didn't like the person I saw in the mirror. And I changed all that. I turned all that around. And this project gives me a window to tell St. Louis that you can succeed through hard times.
Right. Well, that's a great message. I mean, that's one that a lot of us really should take to heart. Jacqueline, let me come back to you because I'm particularly interested in the spouse that you mentioned. Can you give me some sense of what her story is?
A sense of her story, I think, is that military spouses and family need support just like the veterans, mm-hmm. and that they should not be forgotten. She talks about a work situation that was really hard for her and how she was moving and just not having the support of her employees, of having to talk to her spouse. He was overseas and trying to make time for all of that and making those accommodations. So just again saying that, you know, they need that support as well is really the voice of her monologue.
Yeah. Well, again, it's an interesting and important part of the story. Jim, you look like you wanted to...
I was going to say, it sounds like this is 8 monologues, but really these stories are weaved together in a way that really keeps, one, the story going, and two, there are some basic similarities to the veteran experience. Everyone has had some sort of basic training experience or initial training experience. Everyone has had to be discharged at some point. Mm-hmm. And so there's some commonalities that the script writers have tried to pull together to make this thing more powerful. And it really is. When people go see it, I think they're really going to be touched.
What are some of the other issues that are touched upon? I mean, I started out by making certain assumptions that what we'd be talking about would be readjusting to civilian life after having been in combat or coming back and maybe having a drug problem. But
it's not all about adversity. It's about connection. You're going to hear from a Navy veteran who feels so strongly about his ship. This guy is fantastic, and he's going to tell you about something that he gained from his service that carries him through today. And you're going to hear from a Navy veteran who didn't really have a basic training experience. She was an admin law clerk, but upon deployment, she had this experience with her peers in a situation that connected her to all the others, and that drives her still today. So it's just a great story, and we've got Vietnam-era veterans, we've got Desert Storm-era veterans, we've got post 9/11 Afghanistan and Iraq veterans, we've got a spouse. The commonalities are really amazing over time. It's really a sight to see.
And you answered a question a moment ago that I was going to ask, that you do have female representatives from the military.
We sure do. And you know, female representatives, since we've gotten rid of the draft, those numbers continue to climb, and it's a very important story to hear.
What, Jacqueline, what are you learning from these stories?
What I'm reminded from these stories is, as we, you know, the quote, like, as we liberate ourselves, we liberate others. And from their courage and their resilience and their strength, their bravery just to get up and talk about their lives, for me, is liberating. And I know they're going to inspire and encourage and support not just veterans, but everybody that's in their space. It was very important for me to create a safe space for them to be themselves. And, you know, even with the script, like, you know, certain Harold can attest to, you know, people saying, well, hey, I wouldn't say this like this. Okay, well, how would you say it? You know, I want the true essence and the true spirit of who these people are. And I believe that we've got that in the piece.
One of the things, and we've alluded to this before, that kind of struck me is the fact that this is scripted. Mm-hmm. And I would have thought that somehow might take away from from the actual words and feelings.
They have made sure that it is true, Harold.
We've made sure.
They have made sure that it is exactly how they would say it in the moment. And so it's very organic. It's organic. The only thing that, I mean, they've had to learn the theater stuff of blocking and projection and, you know, movement and all of that good stuff. And I've been pretty on them about that, you know. But aside from that, everything that's coming out of their mouth is the true essence of who they are.
Right. Before time gets away from us, let me point out that these programs are going to start on June 3rd. There are a number of various dates and a number of various times. I'll give them quickly, but we'll put all of this information on our website that folks can get that. Because if you're driving a car right now, you're not going to have a chance to write this down. But the UMSL presents Telling St. Louis, Our Wars, Their Stories, June 3rd, 4th, 10th, and 11th. That's at 7:30 p.m. And on June 5th and 12th at 2 p.m., all the performances at the Kransberg Arts Center here in Grand Center area. It's on Grand. Have you been rehearsing there, or have you been rehearsing out on campus?
We just had our first rehearsal yesterday, but we was at the campus before.
Stuff got real last night in the space.
Right.
Yeah.
It's good.
Jacqueline, is everybody on stage at the same time?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. I'm very fortunate to have Chris Ware, who's a local poet. He was in the Marines. He's a veteran. And he's come in and added some musicality to the piece, and it just breathed a new life into the performance last night. So
Little music never hurts, does
never
it?
Never hurts anybody.
When you're doing performing. Jim, let me come back to you to this issue of commonality that you raised. Various conflicts, various eras when these veterans served. What is the principal commonality that you've determined through your teaching and through all of this?
That's a good question. So when we work with I'm going to go back a little. When we work with student veterans, one of the things we talk about is these student veterans on the UMSL campus or on any campus are dealing with an identity transition. The transition really is I'm going from a high school graduate to try to become a college graduate, and that changes my identity in society. But I think our veteran students are actually doing a dual transition. They're really trying to figure out who they are outside of service. And you'll find veterans 20, 25, 30 years later still trying to figure out who they are outside of service. And so this is the commonality. Everyone has been changed by the basic training indoctrination process, and they have to figure out what are the best parts of that that they bring with them outside of service and what are the parts that they don't want. They're not all good, and they're not all perfect fit for every single person, but everyone's had that experience, and the commonality is trying to figure out what parts of it to take with. Mm. And how can I be a veteran who moves on instead of just being a former service member, and that's the complete part of me. Mm. And Harold's a perfect example. Mm. Right? Harold has found pieces of it to really drive him. Harold was one of my students a couple of semesters ago, mm-hmm. and it, you know, what he brings to the classroom of non-veteran students is amazing, but he needs to find those pieces that they have to bring into him too. And you know, these vets are doing this.
Harold, we hear so much about vets who do have difficulty transitioning back to civilian life after the regimented life that they've been leading, basically told when to get up and when to go to sleep and when to be where. Why do you think so many do have difficulty transitioning?
'Cause you program to the military standards. You have to remember the veterans are warriors. Their lives are on the line. Their job is to kill, bottom line. And to come off of that, to come from that, to come back to society, you have to reintegrate yourself into the world. And sometimes in some it's a little more difficult than others. You know, some may go into depressions, post-traumatic stress, as we talked about, just to regain yourself. But once you start to find and get back into the society or civilian world, you tend to, a lot of veterans, as the ones I know on UMSL's campus, are going through these things, but they're slowly getting themselves back acclimated to the civilian world. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, some people do it real fast. Some people take a little longer, but it's possible.
Jacqueline, I'm making an assumption that you never served in the military.
I
is that correct?
That's correct.
So what are you learning about the military and the military life through this experience?
I've learned the difference in the branches and how they joke in the internal jokes between the branches. That was something I didn't know. And I'm learning everything. I didn't go in with any type of preconceived notions because I knew nothing. I don't come from a military family. So I wanted to be an open vessel to just take everything in. So their camaraderie, their resilience, their specific journeys and how they don't all align. I mean, you know, I've learned, I could go on for days about all the things I've learned because I came in not knowing anything.
So you understand them better than you did going in.
Most definitely.
Jim, I want to come back to you on an issue that has been talked about for a great many years. You talk about the various eras. The men and women who came back from Vietnam certainly suffered a different kind, and I use the word suffer accordingly, suffered a different kind of transition than others subsequently have.
They did.
How is that how is that addressed?
Well, we have one of our veterans on the cast is a Vietnam-era veteran mm-hmm. who, and you know, I wouldn't dare put my words in his story, but he experienced pain because he didn't go back, right? Mm-hmm. He felt that he may have let down his team, mm-hmm. and he struggled for a generation mm-hmm. working through that process, mm-hmm. right? What a fantastic story and a person who can come out of that and recognize that that happened. And the society, when he was back, didn't help him cope with that. If he could have told his story in 1969 to a community that would accept just listening to the story, maybe he wouldn't have had 20 years in the woods.
Yeah.
And so this is kind of what we're trying to do. We're trying to create these opportunities for the community to connect back to storytelling. And that storytelling, this is a great way to do it.
Who do you anticipate your audience to be?
Well, I'll tell you, we thought about this. Mm-hmm. I bet in the first week, so we're 2 weekends, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. I bet you in the first week we're going to have the veteran community.
Yeah.
We're going to have the VFW, the AMVETS, the American Legion community, those people, because they care about these things. Mm-hmm. But the word's going to get out that this thing is powerful. Mm-hmm. And it's downtown in Grand Center where the arts are happening in St. Louis. And St. Louis is coming the second weekend. Mm-hmm. This is going to be something that St. Louis can be proud of. And maybe we can do it again in a year or two.
Yeah. Well, we only have a few seconds left. Harold, did you ever think you'd be involved in anything like this at
no.
any time?
No, and I'm very proud to be in it. And I've invited anyone, any young man or woman who's thinking about going into the military, come and get a lightened look at service and hear some stories and talk about it. This is a very educational and it's fun.
That's a very interesting point. Before you go in, you might want to get some sense of what it's like when you get out.
Mm-hmm.
I want to thank you all so much for being with us. Again, the information with regard to the programs, Telling St. Louis Our Wars, Their Stories, starting next weekend, the weekend after this one. I want to thank you, Jim Craig, for being with
thank
us.
You.
And Jacqueline Thompson, thank you for
thank
being
you.
With us. Harold Taylor, great to see you. Good
thank
luck.
You.
Break a leg, as they say on the stage.
Yeah.
Right.
Go again. Thank you all so much
thank
for being
you.
With us. Archive versions of past St. Louis On the Air programs available for download or podcast at stlpublicradio.org/stlonair. Thank you for listening. I'm Don Marsh.